Chapter 30. Joff thought of himself as a resourceful kind of guy, but he'd never dealt with a situation quite like this before.
So, what are we supposed to do with these?
He and Greer stood in the junker ship they'd bought for the Cybensko mission, currently parked in a low-rent, out-of-the-way hangar, well off military property, staring into a cargo hold densely packed with hundreds of thermal detonators.
This is not the kind of thing we want to get caught with,
Joff added. Greer leaned closer to the pallets, squinting in dismay.
It's not like we couldn't explain, she said warily. The mission to Cybensko is public now. Still, we have a ton of explosives from a destroyed paramilitary terrorist organization, and nowhere to put them.
Initially, Joff had figured they'd turn in the detonators to some commander or admiral in the New Republic fleet. But since they hadn't actually been on a military mission, they weren't under military jurisdiction. Their mission had been senatorial, more or less, but the Galactic Senate had no procedure or protocol for turning in destructive devices. Joff had wondered whether they should give them to Princess Leia herself, but what if people got the wrong idea? She was already feared and hated because she'd turned out to be Darth Vader's kid. If the public at large learned she had a massive private stash of weaponry, the reaction could be extreme.
I don't guess we can sell them, he ventured.
Greer turned back toward him then, eyebrow quirked.
Yeah, let's definitely start working on our criminal record as illegal arms merchants.
Well, what else are we supposed to do?
Joff flopped down on one of the cargo hold's jump seats.
Hang them up as decorations?
I'd thought about taking them back to Cybensko and just dumping them in the water.
Folding her arms, Greer leaned back against the metal wall.
But that's only going to set up more potential destruction, either for the wildlife there or for undersea trawlers sent to investigate.
The Senate's actually sending someone out?
That was swifter and more decisive action than Joff was used to seeing from the government. But Greer sighed.
No such luck. But you can bet some of the criminal organizations that had interest there will check. The Nyctos, the Huts, maybe even some of the Amaxine's sympathizers. They're going to go after everything they can scavenge and every piece of information they can find.
So what if those guys blow themselves up?
Joff thought but didn't say, because immediately he realized it wouldn't be the mobsters themselves who went down to the wreckage in submersibles. It would be indentured servants, or workers too poor to refuse jobs that endangered their lives. They didn't deserve to get killed just because he and Greer couldn't think of anywhere else to stash the detonators. When Greer put her hand to her temple and winced, Joff felt a jolt of alarm.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just have a headache.
Then she glared and pointed a finger toward him.
And don't ever overreact about my health again, all right?
Joff forced himself to relax.
All right.
Slowly, Greer turned her gaze back to the thermal detonators.
We need to rent a storage space. Someplace secure and secret.
And what? Just leave the detonators in there forever?
And wait for Princess Leia to give us the word.
Joff wanted to ask what exactly the word would be, but he already knew. They'd only managed to take down Rinriven's cartel and the Amaxine warriors by stretching the limits of Princess Leia's senatorial authority, and by doing things on their own initiative. If the princess was right, other paramilitary groups were out there, preparing to take the galaxy to the brink of war. The Senate showed no sign of being willing or able to take action against those groups itself. Apparently, the princess thought a day would come when they might have to take a stand against these groups on their own. When that day arrived, they'd need to be armed.
Storage unit, Joff said. Check.
Even though Ransom Casterfo had steeled himself for this visit most of the night and all morning, he still made the walk through the Senate offices with dread in his heart. When he reached his destination, he paused a moment in the hallway to straighten his dark green jacket and crisp white shirt, took a few deep breaths, then walked forward so that the doors would slide open to admit him. Greer wasn't in her usual place in the front office. In fact, nobody seemed to be there apart from C-3PO, who looked as astonished as a droid could.
Senator Costerfo?
To speak to Senator Organa, Ransom said in his most formal, correct manner. Then more quietly, he added, if she'll see me.
I shall inquire directly, sir.
C-3PO shuffled toward Leia's door, but sideways as if he didn't think it wise to let Ransom out of his sight for a moment. Ransom readied himself for a long wait, or a swift rejection, which was why it was so startling when only moments later C-3PO reappeared.
It seems Her Highness is indeed willing to see you, though frankly I can't imagine why.
Fair enough. Ransom walked into her office, relieved that the droid made no move to follow. Leia sat at her desk, wearing the clothes she usually reserved for travel, a tunic and trousers in pale gray. Her hair was tucked back into a messy knot at the nape of her neck. All efforts at senatorial formality and grandeur had been abandoned. This was a woman who no longer gave a damn what anyone thought. She did not rise to greet him. Her words were even but clipped. I can't believe you had the courage to face me.
I can hardly believe it myself.
Though Ransom thought of what he had lacked earlier not as courage, but as understanding. For weeks after learning of her parentage, he had found it hard to even look at her directly, much less try to see her as anything other than Vader's offspring. Yet now when he looked at her, he saw the same person he had come to know and like. Although his actions had ended their friendship forever, he could at least give her the respect she deserved.
You did good work on the Cybensko mission. Once I reviewed the full report, I was all the more impressed. In your place, I doubt I would have made it out alive.
She folded her arms in front of her chest. I'm so glad to have finally won your approval. Her sarcasm hurt, but no more than Ransom knew he deserved. He had not come here to be forgiven, only to belatedly give Leia her due.
Well, I'm glad to know you've been successful and that everyone is all right. Please know that I intend to support further investigations in any manner possible.
He gave her a farewell nod and headed for the door, but then she said, Ransom, wait.
Yes?
I'm not going to thank you for backing up my testimony in the Senate yesterday. Nobody should be thanked for simply telling the truth. But I can tell you that you surprised me, in a good way this time. A wry smile flickered on her face for an instant, then was gone. You put the greater good ahead of your own political faction and ambitions. You stood up for what you thought was right, and you told the truth even when those around you wanted you to lie. That makes you the kind of politician the galaxy needs.
No senator worthy of the office should do any less. As you say, I don't deserve any gratitude for that.
And you're not getting my gratitude. You're getting responsibility. Leia sighed. I have no real power in the Senate any longer. I never will again. That means you're going to have to find other allies, both populist and centrist, who can honestly work together to get us out of this mess, and maybe even prevent a war.
Surely it won't come to that.
I hope not. I still believe we can find a way back to peace, but you and people like you will have to be the ones who lead us there. It's going to take a long time to build the kind of movement the Senate needs. You'll have to declare independence and stop letting yourself be used to do other politicians' dirty work. So you'll also have to get a lot better at learning who to trust. For a long time, you'll have to stand alone. Leia's gaze seemed to look through him, and Ransom could not guess what she saw. But then she added, I believe you're strong enough to do it. Nothing she could have said would have humbled him more or encouraged him more. Ransom nodded.
I will always do my duty.
Yes, I think you will. They had nothing else to say to each other, perhaps ever again. So Ransom simply bowed and took his leave. He walked back to his office in a state of melancholy, not for the task before him, but for the memory of Leia, weary and isolated, still thinking of the greater good as she learned to accept her political exile. Ransom knew the torch had been passed. He hoped he would be worthy of it. Ten days after her final speech to the Galactic Senate, Leia made her first public political appearance since the galaxy had learned she was Darth Vader's daughter. She didn't want to face a hostile crowd, but she also didn't intend to spend the rest of her life in fear. Besides, as Varish Vickley had pointed out, this was an ideal opportunity.
"Let me be blunt," Varish had said. "You have a glorious war record and a strong history of service in the Senate, which means we mustn't be perceived as shunning you. People would declare all populists hypocrites, even if they still despised you. But we can't put you forward as one of our leaders any longer. That means you come to large gatherings focused around other politicians. Smile and wave and give the public time to get used to you again. Once they do, we can start expanding your role, giving you back a little of your old authority."
Although Leia remained certain that the public would never be fully comfortable with her again, she would follow Varish's advice. She appreciated the show of loyalty, and besides, she wanted to see her old friend Ty Lin Gar receive the attention he deserved. His first campaign rally was held in one of Hosnian Prime's largest parks, a popular gathering place for visitors from across the galaxy. Ty Lin centered the event on a large, fan-shaped fountain that his home planet of Gatalenta had donated at the time of the New Republic's founding. It was a beautiful setting, and a symbolic one. Ty Lin was silently making it clear that he still thought of himself as a citizen of Gatalenta first. Leia sat in the back row of the stands behind the new populist candidate, wearing a simple dress of unobtrusive olive-green fabric, and hoping to pass largely unnoticed. The only ones who seemed to have taken note of her presence so far were the security guards grouped at the gathering's perimeter, one of whom always had his eyes on her. It would have been insulting if it hadn't been so amusing. Leia clapped when the others clapped, and genuinely smiled to see Ty Lin being cheered by the large, enthusiastic crowd. In his scarlet cloak, he seemed to be wrapped in his own victory banner. Fundamentally, she knew Ty Lin's candidacy for First Senator was deeply flawed. He had the discipline and humility to resist taking advantage of the new authority he would gain if he won. But the strategy he planned to employ was self-sabotaging. It was the equivalent of giving up on galactic politics completely, even on the idea that a single government could protect and serve the known worlds. But Ty Lin Gar trusted Leia. He had not doubted her when the truth came out, and was one of the very few individuals who understood how it was possible for a man strong in the Force, even the dark side, to have fathered people like Luke and Leia. She didn't think he'd turn his back on her even after his election if he won. "Maybe I'll never have my own political power again," she thought, "but that doesn't mean I can't still work for what I think is right. If I can convince Ty Lin to listen to me occasionally, we might be able to redefine the role of a first senator as something that would work for both him and the galaxy. Instead of a leader, I can be an informal advisor. Maybe I can still help move us forward." A small voice next to her said,
"Princess Leia?"
She turned and was surprised to see that Cor Sela had found her way through the crowds to come here.
"Cor..."
Leia stopped herself from saying Corey just in time. "I didn't expect to see you."
"Because I quit,"
Cor said.
"Because I walked out after we all learned about Vader. I shouldn't have done that. I've spent all this time thinking about what you were like when I worked for you and how much I admire you. And I realized that I'm still sure you're a good person. So I shouldn't have turned against you because of something you couldn't help."
Leia had expected understanding from few people, but had thought the wisest and most experienced among them, the ones she'd known longest, would be the first to come around. Instead, they'd been outshone by a 16-year-old girl.
"I understand,"
Leia kept her tone as gentle as she could, while still being heard over the crowd. I always understood. Kor nodded, blinking fast. In a shaky voice, she said,
I know I don't get to be your intern anymore, but if there's ever any way I can help you or work for you, I just wanted to say I'd do it. I mean, I'd be proud to do it.
Thank you, Kor. That means a lot to me. Leia pressed the girl's hand.
And if you want, you can still call me Corey. It's okay.
No, you were right. You're not a child any longer. I think you're more grown up than most of the people at this rally. Kor is better. Kor finally smiled, and Leia felt sure that someday, if she needed to, she could call on her. After the speeches, of course, came the pressing of hands, claws, and tentacles. As people thronged around Tai Lin, Leia began walking away, hoping to slip out of sight unnoticed. But a long, golden limb wrapped around her shoulders to keep her near.
Oh, no you don't, Varys chided affectionately. You stay right here. Tai Lin will no doubt want to speak to you afterward.
If I remember the details of my last election campaign, Tai Lin will only want to collapse afterward. Leia watched the hubbub for a few moments longer. How could Tai Lin keep his dignity and serenity, even when surrounded by laughing crowds who wanted him to kiss their babies or cubs? What are his chances, do you think?
Good. The polls are promising, though at this stage, when we still don't have a centrist nominee to test him against, it's hard to say. But we expected the populist faction to take a hit after your hullabaloo, and it didn't happen.
Leia had to laugh. You are the only person in the galaxy who could possibly describe what happened as a hullabaloo.
And that's why you love me, isn't it?
Varys hugged Leia's shoulders a bit tighter, then began towing her toward the crowd.
At least say goodbye to Tai Lin before you go.
He doesn't care about that, and I don't want to cause any trouble.
You won't. The sooner we start acting like things are back to normal, the sooner things will get back to normal. Besides, I'm not even sure anybody will recognize you in this crowd. It's so packed we can hardly see half a meter in front of our faces.
That much was true. Leia let Varys lead her into the throngs, taking care not to push or meet anyone's eyes. If anybody within the mob recognized her, they said nothing she could overhear. Finally, they neared Tai Lin's side.
Tai Lin!
Varys called.
We're over here!
A gap in the crowd opened, large enough for Leia to see Tai Lin standing there, smiling in welcome as potential voters surrounded him on all sides. And one of their faces was familiar. High cheekbones, silver-streaked hair, intense dark eyes. Even though Leia had seen this person only during one night on Bastatha and in Ransom's Hollows of Daxam IV, she recognized her instantly. Arlys Hadrassian. And from her long cape, Hadrassian had just drawn a blaster. Leia didn't even have time to shout a warning before Hadrassian fired straight into Tai Lin's chest. Screams erupted throughout the crowd, and people began running in different directions, mostly trying to get away from the assassin, but a few hurrying to Tai Lin's side. Leia managed to reach him, falling to her knees beside the place where he lay. Only then did she realize Hadrassian still stood there, completely unmoving, blaster in her hand. The security guards were fighting their way toward them, but they hadn't arrived yet.
Leia Organa,
Hadrassian said. A slow, terrible smile spread across her face.
You're lucky. I'm thinking strategically.
With that, Hadrassian lifted the blaster to her own temple. Leia just had time to turn away before the final bolt and the sickening thud of a corpse onto the ground. Tai Lin! She rolled him onto his back in order to assess the wound. Tai Lin, can you hear me? But of course he couldn't. He had been hit directly in the chest, at close range, by a blaster set to kill. The deep wound where his heart used to be had been cauterized, leaving a blackened crater behind. Arlise Hadrasian had avenged her Amaxine warriors. This meant disaster for the galaxy Leia knew. But she couldn't yet think of the political ramifications, the fallout, or anything else beside the fact that her friend lay dead on the ground. As Varish Vikli began to wail, Leia bent forward so that her forehead touched Tylin's. It was the only farewell she could think of.